The show is back. Nick Wilson, Dustin Fox, live from Berea. It is Browns training camp. We back. We've got Keith Britton here producing in person. We got Mac Robinson back at the head ops. He's running the board. We got Meredith Kane of the 2020s, but hey, looking like he's ready to win some Wimbledon right now.
I'm just dressed in a little athleisure, just chilling here at a beautiful Browns training camp day.
This is both your Monday.
You know, this is like, just so we're clear, okay,
just
this
so
is like today, like
yes. The
first day we come to training camp, you know. It's my favorite day.
This is when Dustin really shows up.
I do.
So you got to expect five.
Oh,
immaculate.
It's going to be the best 5 hours of radio I've ever done.
So if for the bosses back there, if you would like us to win a Marconi, this is the one you pull for.
Record it.
This is how we get it.
This is how we do it, Nick.
This is how we do it. I will say, a little more spicy than I thought it was going to be.
Not just spicy. It's sassy.
Yeah, it is very sassy. So I was Kevin Stefanski spoke during Baskin and Phelps. They got that segment off there at about 1:30. And I was over there and I was like, it's really not that hot. Why am I sweating waiting to hear Kevin Stefanski talk?
I played tennis this morning.
What?
At 9. Yeah, surprise.
Is this
right?
A new thing?
I gave it a shot.
Okay.
You know, it's okay. Hey, Mr. Haslam.
Candidly.
And it was like chilly. It was like 71, a little breeze, and I'm like, man, we're going to have a day.
Yeah, went for a walk this morning
like, this
at about 8 o'clock.
This is good Nick Wilson weather.
And I was like, this is great fat people weather. And then I showed up here.
We
understood the subtext.
Okay, fair enough.
But then I showed up here, and it is a spicy.
Meatball.
Spicy meatball.
Speaking of meatball.
Yeah.
I had yesterday
in
Connecticut this place it was a pizza place that apparently has been around for like a long ass time, like one of the oldest pizza places in Connecticut. And Nick, I didn't show you this, but
you're gonna try to make a fat man salivate.
So that was just the that's the look at the meatball.
Oh,
look
yeah,
at the meatball with ricotta
meatball
cheese,
right,
dude.
There. Damn right it is. Yeah.
That's the pep.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
You don't come back.
It's called Frank Pepe Pizzeria.
Okay.
Napoletana.
What was that?
Not doing it again.
That's all right. You also just almost sat on your case there. Well, I'm glad. You're
so
back.
It was good. Good to be back.
I'm glad today is both your Monday and your Thursday, which I find to be a very fun thing.
It is.
It is. Yeah. It's my Thursday though.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. Let's see. We got to catch you up. I don't know if you know this. Guardians haven't won a game since last Friday. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this?
Have you heard about this?
How are we feeling? Any panic level?
They stink right now. Is there a panic level? Yeah, there's a panic level, dude. You're losing to the Diamondbacks.
I don't think they stink right now.
The Diamondbacks or
the
Guardians?
No, the Guardians. I think that I
was going to say, certainly not the Diamondbacks.
I'm trying not to give the team-friendly narrative, but I do happen to think that it's the appropriate one. I think they're playing really unlucky baseball right now.
You've been saying that, Nick, for 2 weeks?
No, I've not said – when did I say unlucky?
Keith, turn your mic on and help me a little
bit. I use the word unlucky?
Maybe not that exact word, but Keith, help me out. He's been saying that the Guardians have been playing good baseball, but, they're a little – maybe you did say unlucky because you're like, they got runners in scoring position and they just hit, they ground into a double play.
The manager said it yesterday too. Thought they've been playing great baseball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
this is the results level or the results driven, analysis that I get to work with every day. Yeah. You can watch them. It's not as if last night was the worst game they ever played.
Kind of a must-win series coming up, would you say?
I would say it's an important series. Yeah. Some people would poo-poo that sort of thing. So we got the
not
Guardians.
Not a must-win. You said the Tigers game was a must-win.
I believe they won it.
Meanwhile,
we've got – by the way,
really
no, I
them.
Didn't.
Really
no,
helped
I
them.
Didn't, Lima. I did not say
roll
it was a must-win.
Roll the tape.
I said it was as close to a must-win as you can get on whatever July 18th or 27th. You know, this is the
kind of – well, the words must-win came out of your mouth. I'm just saying.
This is the kind of shoddy journalism that has our country – where our country is, and sports talk too. So the
more
Browns,
than that, partner.
So did you see the renderings? Do you see the sizzle reel?
I did.
Well, oh damn, Jimmy just left. I was going to say we could really loudly just tell everybody how much we like the sizzle reel if Jimmy was right there. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, listen, Ken and Anthony, the morning boys, have Stefanski. I think the only way we could really, truly one-up them is if we got Jimmy in the pocket, you know?
Jimmy in the pocket?
I heard it as I said it. Tiger got out of the cage. Put it back in the cage.
I mean, I had to stop my tracks.
Yeah, had to. Yeah. Mostly because I just brought the show there. Are we a fan of the renderings?
Yeah, I mean, all these renderings that these teams put out are like ridiculous. You know, they all look amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody can build a stadium, an NFL stadium, in 2024 and not make it unbelievable.
I just love that.
You think about this, Nick. I mean, the technology, I know it's been upgraded a little bit, but like in Cleveland Brown Stadium was built 25 years ago, man.
Yeah. Well, and remember, like when probably one of my favorite parks that has ever been built was the first true retractable roof stadium in Milwaukee where the Brewers play. And that stadium took like an extra year to what a normal, because it was the first time. I know there had been other retractable roofs, but on a baseball stadium, it was the first time they actually put one up there. And there was a huge crane collapse. It was a whole to-do. 25 years later, we're talking about building a stadium in 36 months. Now, this one has a fixed dome on it. But it's funny, like, if you don't like indoor football, all right, I get it. I think you're going to be converted pretty quickly. If you don't like the Brook Park thing, I get it. Okay. Whatever.
I mean, ask any Vikings fan if they like their situation.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. But here's the thing. To the people who say, I don't like the way the thing looks, I do not believe you. I believe you are being contrarian. I think it looks like a absolute beautiful state. Not just that, but like if you look at all the buildings, because the third time I watched the sizzle reel, I've sizzled about six or seven times.
You're sizzling.
You know me.
Not just when it's spicy
outside. I like to sizzle whenever I can. And
they've said that about you.
About the people say it about me. Bibble. Nick Wilson sizzler. Nick Wilson sizzles. About the fourth time through watching the 2.5 minute sizzle reel, I started looking at the other buildings and the other like space that they're going to be able to use, and it's going to be really fun in about 5 years.
Can't wait. And I was talking to some people up in Bristol about this, and they were like, what's going on with this stadium? It's not going to be downtown. I'm like, dude, there's nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
It's really inconvenient right now. You have so much room out by the airport. You can develop that. It could be, well, it will be the place to be.
So we have that going on. Let's see. To bring you up to the latest with Brandon Ayuk, he wants to be a Steeler. They want him to be either a 49er or a Brown, they being the 49ers. And if he wins out in this battle of stubborn, he'll be a Steeler. If the 49ers win out, he'll either be a 49er, which seems increasingly unlikely, or a Cleveland Brown. Your take, go.
My take is, you know, listen, I think Brandon Ayuk, number one, he's amazing. And he's going to get paid a ton of money. He's unhappy. We knew that in San Fran. I'm sort of surprised that they're now looking to move him, because maybe it's internal. Like they feel like, hey, this is a distraction. Let's just move on, you know, and because he's not going to be there long term. And if he's disgruntled, it's going to be a problem. So anyway, he sounds like he's going to get moved. And those teams you mentioned are in the mix. And the Browns, who are interested, apparently are not in the mix. To me, you know, like you asked me on the phone before the show, you said, is he going to be like public enemy number one if he goes to Pittsburgh? And I said, why? Yeah. Why?
I can't believe that you even asked that question.
Why?
How long have you been in radio in this town?
I think people know. Too long.
13 years.
Too long.
13 years. And by the way, happy anniversary here in August.
29th?
Our second, and the 13th of the station. But he would have chosen the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Cleveland Browns. Like, there's just beyond that, I don't want to go to Cleveland is bad enough. But then, I don't want to go to Cleveland, but I do want to go to Pittsburgh. No matter how valid the Mike Tomlin stuff is, if he gets traded to Pittsburgh or whether he stays in San Francisco, the next time Browns fans get their eyes on Brandon Ayuk, if it's not as a member of the Cleveland Browns, he's getting his ass booed out of the building.
I don't see it. I mean, maybe they boo him, but it's not like this guy is going to be this I'm trying to think of a good situation where somebody, like, scorned their arrival, but it doesn't matter. I don't see it. And by the way, like, if you're worked up about this because he picks Pittsburgh over Cleveland, like, I understand. I understand why he would pick Pittsburgh over Cleveland.
Go on.
And it's because Cleveland has a fantastic roster. They've got a great coach. It seems like everything's, like, headed in the right direction. But you don't know that. And Pittsburgh has the track record. And, frankly, right now, I know their quarterback situation is a competition. But I would feel better about Russell Wilson heading into this year than I do about Deshaun Watson. Or Justin Fields, for that matter.
I think there's a lot of, one, I think that's there's a lot of your perspective in there, which is great as a former player and everything. I don't think fans are going to give a damn about that.
Maybe fans will. But I'm just telling you how I feel.
Because here's the other thing.
I can't be inside someone else's mind. And not that I'm calling you out for that. I just don't really care about him going to Pittsburgh. I'll give you all these reasons why I think I mean, in his mind, again, he hasn't signed, right? It's not a done deal.
Yeah.
But assuming it gets done, I understand.
I think, again, there's just fan fanatics. They're I don't want to say lack of rationale, because that's not fair. But I think, because I think there's a segment of fans who the number one reason they want Brandon Ayuk now is not that he's a number one wide receiver, not that he's an ascending player, not that he might be the long-lost answer to who's truly going to be a number one receiver for the Cleveland Browns. I think some of it now is we get to take a guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think if most fans were being honest, I think a fair amount of fans would say that. Because I'll be honest with you, I'll have a couple jokes if they do.
I mean, can you imagine? And by the way, I think there's a chance. I haven't followed it too closely. I'm just thinking about it. Like, this is the way I thought going into camp, is that, you know, Justin Fields could be in the mix there.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt he could be in the mix.
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson's calf injury, I think, has certainly opened things up for Justin Fields. We'll see. I think that's one of the more interesting situations. What's funny is I actually do think Brandon can be a difference maker here. I think ultimately, like, because they're either guy that you have, I think, fits what you want to do. My biggest question in Pittsburgh is still the fit with Fields and Russ in that Arthur Smith offense, which now that we're in camp, everybody all of a sudden is talking about Arthur Smith like he's Tom Landry or
dude, his
LaFleur brother.
His mustache is just too much for me.
It's too
like black phone to me.
You know I'm already on the fence on mustaches, right?
Yeah.
This one cannot be. This is a stranger danger. You said
that's black phone.
Yeah. You said black phone. I'm just going to say straight up stranger danger there. So we've got Jamari Thrash, Browns wide receiver. We're going to talk with him later in the show. We did catch up with him earlier today after some morning exercises there. What are his thoughts on that first year in camp as a member of the Cleveland Browns, his goals, and really his thoughts in the wide receiver room. We'll also talk with Albert Breer coming up at 5:20 today. He just put out his 5 takeaways from Browns camp that we'll exhaustingly ask him questions about. We'll ask him about the latest in the Ayuk rumors. As we're at camp, we might have a few fun little surprises today, but 216-474-0092 if you guys want to give us a call. At Nick Wilson says, at Dustin Fox 37, if you guys want to hit us up on Twitter, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And we get to the one thing that we can say, you wouldn't have this conversation if you had Joe Flacco. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.